The scripture reading this morning will be coming from the book of Matthew, chapter 20, verses 29 through 34. That's Matthew chapter 20, verses 29 through 34. Let's read. Now as they went out of Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the road, when they heard that Jesus was passing by, cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David." Then the multitude warned them that they should be quiet. And they cried out all the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David." So Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." So Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him.
You know, it's been a blessing to be a part of a congregation that sees the situations and issues that surround it and attempt to do its level best to help. And the reason why is because we understand that life happens. The Bible demonstrates to us that time and chance happen to all men. And Job would say in Job 14:1, man born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. And so we know that things happen in life. We know that tragedy takes place in the lives of people. And when we think about our opportunities as the people of God, excuse me, we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to our fellow man. And we ought to take advantage of those opportunities. We think about Jesus, and we know that he went about doing good. Acts 10 and verse number 35. Yet the Bible teaches us that we have the responsibility to preach the whole counsel of God. Acts 20 and verse 27. We think about the Lord's church. The Lord's church has a responsibility to uphold the bloodstained banner of Jesus Christ. To make sure that we preach the distinctive nature of the Lord's church, the church of Christ. To uphold the gospel of Jesus Christ as we are preaching sound doctrine, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And yet we see the balance of our Almighty God, the goodness and the severity of God. When I think about these opportunities that we have in our midst and how there are certain events in the world that actually bring humanity together. It's an amazing feat when all men can look out for all men, but especially the household of faith. Especially when the Lord's church understands their responsibility to follow after Christ. And as the Apostle Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse number 1, "Follow me even as I follow Christ." How do you follow the Christ? How do you follow the accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and not find him, as our dear brother Lance just read to us, the compassion of Jesus Christ? How do you follow the Christ and not see the balance of Jesus as he is dealing with the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, and he is confronting them concerning their hypocrisy and false teaching and how they lean to their own understanding? How do you follow him and not see the love that he has for his fellow man, for the one in whom he created, Colossians 1, 15 and 16? How do you follow him and not extend mercy? Oh, when I stopped and I thought about this life, and I thought about how people were losing their lives, losing their babies, losing their husbands, losing their wives, losing their mothers, losing their children. And it's through God's providence that we settled on talking about mercy last month, and then this takes place. Brother Brian, this takes place gives us an opportunity to actually dig our heels in even deeper and talk about the great mercy of God, his compassion, his leniency. And we discussed on last week how this mercy is not just seen in the leniency of Almighty God, but also in the teachings For the Bible demonstrates to us in Titus 3, verse number 5, for by his mercy he saved us. Through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. And we see that it's through the teachings of Almighty God that he leads men back to himself. So God's mercy is him not only being lenient and being compassionate and helping people in their distress, but also teaching them. Well, the Bible teaches us in Ephesians 2 in verse number 4 that God is rich in mercy, which literally means he is abundant in his mercy. And so as we are contemplating more and more the mercy of God, Brother Brian, appreciate the words you gave us to focus on Jesus. I hope, pray, and trust that the things that are going on around us will actually slow us down and get us to see what is truly important. What is that? As Jesus did the will of his Father, we too must do the will of our Father. Well, what is that? Well, one of those things, brethren, is being a people of tender mercy. Amen? And the reason why I'm coming at this lesson in this particular area or vantage point is because in Romans 12, 1 and 2, Paul, as he is begging the brethren there, I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not, now watch this point, conformed to this world. Sometimes the world around us can cause our love to grow cold toward mankind, cause us to be a merciless people. Because of the hardcoreness of mankind, we as the people of God who are led by the Spirit of God through the Word of God become cold in our love too. Therefore, a people who lack compassion, a people who lack mercy. Yet, we see, which is amazing, that people are lining up in their cars in Kerrville, even to this particular point, some 15, 20,000 people strong who desire to just help their fellow man. They interviewed one person and they said, well, why are you here? Well, these are my fellow Texans. These are my brothers. I need to help them. And I said, wow, hold on. There is still life in humanity. Well, the Church of Christ, Christians, members of the Lord's church, friends, let us stay focused. And one thing I love about this people here and the things that Brother Brian said is true. We have collected. And on that first Saturday, we did go out. Well, we didn't wait a week. It was the very next day. Amen. As the Lord's people, whether it was 3, 4, 5, 6, it does not matter. It was a representation of the people of God. Because Brother Royce, we didn't go in our own name. We went in the name of God. We went in the name of the Lord's church. But why is that important? It's important, point number one, because there are people who are seeking mercy. Not just to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and be saved from their sins, which we know is highly important, for we know that no one can be saved unless they have their sins washed away. Jesus would say on many occasions, unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. On many occasions, Jesus would teach and preach the gospel. But on many occasions, we find him going about seeking to do good. Question. Do we have the merciful attitude, mindset? I believe we do. But I believe if we're not careful, brethren, this first week go by, this second week go by. And as I was talking to a good brother, Michael Light, yesterday, friends, we need to be looking down the road when people are going to be needing help 2 months from now. 3 months from now. This is not a one-time deal. There are some people that's going to need help, and we can work right alongside of them. And as we are helping them putting up fences and helping them find things to do as it relates to getting their stuff back together, we can show them Christ and Him crucified in our lives. We can teach the gospel. We can demonstrate to them Christ, because that's why we're here. Let me give you a couple examples. Put these in your notes. We're not going to go over all of them, but put these in your notes. Matthew 15, 21 through 28, and Mark chapter 10, 46 through 52. But I want us to focus on Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 through 31. We come across some blind men, men who could not see, men who had an ailment, had a problem, but couldn't see. In verses 27 through 31 of Matthew chapter 9, notice what the Bible here says. When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, yelling out, crying out, saying, "Son of David, have mercy on us." The other two references that I gave you to write in your notes, you'll see the same language. "Son of David, have mercy on us." Son of David? Why son of David? Because David sat on his throne as king. They knew that he would come through the lineage of David. He himself would be king, sitting on David's throne one day. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, let it be to you." And their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly warned them, saying, "See that no one knows it." But when they had departed, they spread the news about him in all that country. Notice, friends, what they said: "Have mercy on us." When we think about the tender mercy of Almighty God, Jesus put himself in a position to distribute that mercy from God. But then we find individuals who are actually saying to Jesus, "Have mercy on us." This week I saw a video, a woman in Kerr County and a woman in Travis County, and they were saying the same thing. "Can you come help us? Can you come help us?" And I thought about how providential. Here in the scriptures you find, "Son of David, have mercy on us. Help us." Friends, when people are wanting help, the people of God ought to be putting themselves in a position to do so. But we have lives to live too. We have things to do too. We have jobs to go to as well. We have families to take care of, wives and husbands. We have projects. We know that. But we got to slow down and see people that is who are around us. I've told you all this story, those of us who have been here for a while. To those who have not been here for a while, let me tell you a story real quick. I remember when I was at Dale Crest Church of Christ, and the preacher just got through preaching. And it was a great lesson, powerful lesson. And he went out the side door to come up the hall. And I remember going out the back because I wanted to tell him, "Brother Brian, that was a great lesson." And as I was walking by, there was this trophy case. And I saw a young lady there, and she was crying next to the trophy case. And I remember walking right by her. And I saw her and walked right by her. Brother Gatson said, I said, "Man, that was a good lesson." He said, "Hold on, Mike." He saw her. And he went and he comforted her. Talk with her. And I said to myself, that won't happen again. You won't see me walk by anyone again. Sometimes we can walk by the very ones that are crying for help, even though it may not literally come out of their mouth. We have to have our merciful eyes open. Are y'all with me? Are you with me? Brethren, we can't be so inward focused that we can't be outward focused. Jesus, as he is just walking around, Acts 10 and verse 35, and he's looking to do good. Here, Jesus is in a position to help these blind men. When we are wanting to distribute mercy to people, we have to learn how to ask questions. Do you believe that I can do this? Do you believe? What do you need? Oh, that we may receive our sight. We see this with the woman of Canaan, as I gave you Matthew 15, 21 through 28. Blind Bartimaeus, we see the same thing. We have individuals, son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on us. Which we see that mercy being distributed is not just for individuals, but sometimes it is for a group of people. God's mercy. But let me tell you, according to the scriptures, where mercy is not. Look at Luke 16. Oh, we know the rich man and Lazarus. Reminded on one occasion on Facebook, there was this brother that was talking about a false teacher and said, after he died, may God have mercy on his soul. There's no mercy after you leave this life. Mm-mm. Here we have the rich man and Lazarus. And Lazarus is in the bosom of Abraham, the friend of God. And we have this rich man as he is talking to Abraham, which demonstrates as this doctrinal point that there is life after death. Here, Abraham was very much alive, just as Lazarus was, just as the rich man was, very much alive. But we see that the rich man was in torment, which means that he was alive, but he was dead because he was separated from God. And what did the rich man ask for in Luke chapter 16 and verse number? Let's start at verse 23. And being in torment in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in his flames. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, meaning he didn't have the things of this world, but now he is comforted and you are tormented. Hold on, there's no mercy. There's no leniency, Brother Brian, in torment. Which demonstrates that mercy has a time element, it has a location element, and it has a spiritual sphere. Right now is the time to continue to distribute mercy to people, brethren. Right now is the time to teach people the gospel. Right now is the time to demonstrate the goodness of God, Romans 2, 4, that lead men to repentance. Point two, let me show you some things that I learned about mercy. Turn your Bibles to the book of Micah. The book of Micah. In the book of Micah, chapter 6, God, as he is designed for his people to actually do what's right, to think like him, he literally pleads with them. He pleads with his people as this court scene is in view here. In verses 6 to verse number 8, there are some things that God was showing Judah through Micah. He says, he has shown you, O man, they're talking about the inward man, the requirements of the inward man, what is good? And what does the Lord require of you? Micah 6. But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Brethren, do we love leniency and compassion? You're talking about a man, I'm talking about myself right here, that embarrassingly, at one time, I didn't mind cutting your throat with the scriptures. That's not the attitude to have. The attitude to have is just like Philip and the eunuch. He started right where that man was, and he preached Christ. He taught him the truth. He told him what he needed to do in order to be saved. And what was the result? In that case, not in every case, but in that case, that man says, see, here's water. What doth hinder me from being baptized? Every case doesn't end that way. Yet, the mercy is distributed. It is taught, is preached, is given, but everyone doesn't heed to the mercy of God. Here, God, as he is reasoning with his people through Micah, he says, I need you to do justly. I need you to love mercy. Question, do we love instructing people with the word of God about salvation, about the good life, the abundant life? Why was Jesus sent? Was he sent just to save us from our sins? Absolutely not. He was sent to demonstrate the great mercy of Almighty God as well. God is a merciful God. He gives us what we don't deserve. We deserve death. Romans 6 and verse 23. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3, 23. But God demonstrated his mercy. He demonstrated his love toward us. Romans 5, verse 8. For God is a merciful God. And so what does he desire? He desires for us, Hosea 6 and verse 6, to be a merciful people, looking for opportunities. Friends, are we looking for opportunities? Sometimes we can be too busy that those who are around us who need our aid don't receive that aid. Friends, you'll never see a face that's not important to God. Amen. Every face, every soul is important to Almighty God. God desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Turn to the book of Matthew chapter 9. In Matthew chapter 9, Jesus would instruct this Pharisee on his thinking. In verses 9 through verse number 13, as Jesus passed from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, "Follow me." So he arose, followed him. Now it happened, as Jesus sat at the table in the house, that behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard that, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means." Now watch this, friends. I learned something here. Sister Evelyn, I learned that mercy must be learned. You have to learn mercy. You have to learn the will of God and how to be compassionate and how to be lenient and how to give people opportunity to come around. He said, "Learn. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance." It's interesting. Jesus put himself in the position of the tax collectors and sinners to demonstrate the mercy of God, that he may teach them the ways of God. Can you imagine being in the midst of a people who are in dire straits, and you're there and you're helping them? You're laboring alongside of them. And as you're laboring alongside of them, you're able to demonstrate Christ and him crucified in your life, able to teach them the gospel, able to teach them moral principles, godly edification. Can you imagine putting yourself in that position? And then they see Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then, as Jesus would say in Matthew 5:13 and verse number 16, that you're the light of the world, the salt of the earth, the city that is set upon a hill, men shall see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Thank you for coming and helping us. I'm just doing what God wants me to do. Mercy. It's not just me not receiving what I deserve, but it's actually being instructed. It's being cared for. It's showing compassion and allowing people to show compassion for you too. Now let me make this point. I don't want to come across weak, so I'm not going to tell nobody anything. Tell people of my needs, my weaknesses, things that I'm actually struggling through. Friends, how can we have compassion on one another if I don't know if you need help or not? Friends, it is okay for people to show you compassion as well. In Matthew chapter 12, turn your Bibles there, verses 1 through 8, we see another lesson. Pharisees, they just didn't get it, Brother Brian. They just didn't get it. I mean, they just didn't get it. That's a mentality. They didn't understand the mercy of God. They didn't understand the instructions of God. They didn't understand their responsibility to teach the people of God, to be an example to them. There were some in Matthew 23 that Jesus even said, do what they say, but not what they do. But they just didn't get it. And that's one thing I love about us. I believe that we're really trying to do what's right. I believe we get it. Now, granted, I understand we're people. We're going to make mistakes from time to time, sin from time to time, have lapse of judgment from time to time, join the club, free membership. However, the Pharisees, they just didn't get it. On every front, they always were trying to trip Jesus up. They just didn't get it. Look at verse number 1. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. And his disciples were hungry and began to pluck heads of grain to eat. And the Pharisees saw it and they said to him, look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath. Notice Jesus' response. Have you not read what David did when he was hungry? He and those who were with him. How he entered the house of God and ate the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, not for those who were with him, but only for the priest? Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath, the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Yet I say to you that this place, there is one greater than the temple. But if you would have known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Hold on. These men were hungry. They needed something to eat. In other words, cut them some slack. We can learn that too. I wish I'd have learned that when I was early in my fatherhood. You know, there are some things, you know, you can let your kids off on. There are some things you can't. But you can't beat them for everything. You can't. You will destroy your kid and they will destroy others later. I promise you. But you can't let them off on everything because they will destroy themselves and destroy others as well. So there's a balance in there. Well, Brother Mike, where is the balance? Work out your own salvation. You have to. I can't tell you everything. The Bible doesn't tell you everything. God has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. You are an intelligent being. Use my word. Use good judgment. And sometimes good judgment is, I'm sorry I went too far in the punishment. That's okay. I'm sorry I should have punished you for that and I let you go. And here we have Jesus, and he said, you would have learned mercy. There's a time for us to throw off everything, pack up everything, and let's go help some people. But then there's a time that I can't pack up everything. I need to stay put because I got to keep the base strong. I'm done. But this is why I'm done. Because the more I thought about this and the mentality that most of us have here, we're really trying to do what's right. And so one thing that you won't ever see me do is beat up on a people that's trying to do what's right. Amen. The last thing you want to do is beat a kid that's a good kid. Beat a man that's a good man. And then let the man that ain't no good give him all the grace and mercy. No, sir, no, ma'am. One thing that God is, he's a very balanced God. And here comes Jesus demonstrating the very balance of his Father. Friends, we need to learn that balance and keep that balance in our hearts. Why? Because one thing we know as we look at this very last point, look at James 2:13, we're done. We have to follow Christ. And what a beautiful, beautiful theme this month. When we think about God's mercy and making the choice to be a merciful people, the alternative is being merciless. Friends, we can't afford to be a merciless people. I was talking to Brother Evan and Brother Tiberius yesterday, and we was talking about Matthew 18 and the man that was forgiven of a great debt. Remember, we was talking about that yesterday, and he was forgiven of this great debt, and he goes off and finds someone that owed him far less, and he has him by the throat. Pay me what you owe me. Praise be to God. There was witnesses there who knew that he had been forgiven, went and told the king, and the king said, go get him, bring him to me. I forgave you of a great debt, and yet you're going to find somebody who owed you far less, and you're going to have him by the throat, put him in jail and his family until it's all paid. God is teaching us a lesson. We have been saved by the mercy of God. We've been baptized into Christ. We obey the gospel. At least what we can do is demonstrate the same mercy that God showed to us, to one another. Friends, this is the whole counsel of God. The whole counsel of God includes the mercy of God. Some people want to say, well, you know what? I'm relying on God's grace. Well, yeah, you need to. But sometimes you better rely upon the mercy of God that he doesn't give you what you deserve. So in James 2:13, notice what James says here. You're talking about some tough teaching right here. Friends, if we're not careful, this world around us is so merciless. But again, to see people lining up in their trucks, lining up in their cars, have their cars running, that means they're burning time, they're burning gas, they're burning energy to stand in line to help people they don't know. How do you look at that and say that humanity is lost? I'm not talking about lost in sin. I'm talking about so hard-hearted. No. I think we need to take a step back. There are some good people out there, and we need to take the gospel to them. And we're right alongside of them. And say, hey, we don't agree on this, but we do agree that we need to help our fellow man. And perhaps they'll give us an opportunity to sit down and study the word of God with them. And to better their lives, to better their families, to better their way of thinking, to help them to be the people that God desires for them to be. We don't want to be merciless. Notice what James says by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. In verse 13, for judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Friends, we want to be a people who are merciful, not merciless. We want to be a people who are looking for opportunities to help people come out of all of their distress, whether it is teaching and preaching the gospel to them, perhaps giving them something that's going to aid them, that's going to soften the blow, proverbially speaking, to give them a word of encouragement, a helping hand. Again, Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, went about doing good, healing, performing miracles, teaching. Why is that so important? It's important because he came forth from the Father to do that very thing. So I end with this. Look at James 3. Brother Mike, how do I do that? How do I do this? Well, it requires wisdom from above. Oh, yes. Look at this. If you want to be a wise and understanding person, verse 13, you have to have wisdom from above. Verse 15, he said, this wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sinful, and demonic, Verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, meaning persuadable, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Hold on. Wisdom from above is full of mercy. Let us learn that we need to be a merciful people, but also perhaps you at one time was a merciful person, but through situations and circumstances in life, being mistreated, being misunderstood, being downtrodden, and you become hard-hearted. I remember on one occasion a person saying, Mike, don't lose your humility. Mike, don't get hard-hearted. It took me about 2 weeks to think through that. Because initially, I said, I'm not. But over evaluation, 2 Corinthians 13:5, I was. I still need to call that person and tell them thank you. Friends, be careful. Because you can be mistreated as Jesus was, and we're not greater than our master. And you'll get to a point where your love grows cold and you say, I'm done with people. You can't be done with people as long as you're on this time side. So put your big boy pants on. Buckle your belt up. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and be a merciful person, because God has already demonstrated that mercy to you too. Be merciful. I'm so thankful to see what people are doing. This situation that we see that is all across the United States of America is causing people to humble themselves and say, I need to go help. The Lord's church needs to be right smack dab in the middle, and I would say up front, doing what? Demonstrating Christ, the mind of Christ. Don't be so focused on you that you forget people around you. Let's offer for a word of prayer to our Father. We'll give the invitation, the lesson be yours. Let's pray. Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Father, you have shown us a great example in sending your Son. He has demonstrated great mercy toward us by giving his life. Pray to Father that we'll always appreciate what you have done, what he has done. And we pray, Father, that we'll have the mind of Christ and not be so focused on the things here that we lose focus on those things around us. And Father, even though the situation and circumstances of life around us they're hurtful, they cause us great distress and pain. And as our dear brother Brian said, the present distress is real. Help us to be a spiritual, logical, reasonable people who see opportunities and just do what we can. Father, we know that according to the scriptures, you see the good from heaven, Hebrews 6:10. Pray to Father that that would be enough. That you see the good that we're doing, thinking, and wanting to perform for our fellow man, to not get so caught up in our own personal lives that we forget that there are people still hurting around us, that we can do good. Help us to do good. And help us to be the church, a saved people who are doing what is right for those who are saved and may not be saved. We love you, and we know that we fail you, but we're thankful that you are merciful and you don't give us what we deserve. And for that, Father, we're thankful. We just want to be counted worthy for that life to come. Please forgive us. Please help us. Help us to be focused. Help us to be fruitful, and help us to be fixed on your will. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. I want you to consider mercy. The very fact that you're still alive. And if you haven't obeyed the gospel, God has been merciful unto you. He has given you chronos. He's given you time. According to his mercy, he saved us. And so the very fact that he has given you time, he's given you mercy. Will you do what is right? Will you at least give him an opportunity to extend that mercy through teaching? That you may be able to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and reason with the gospel? Will you at least give the gospel an opportunity? As Philip preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, will you give that an opportunity in your life that you can repent and confess and be baptized for the remission of your sins? Will you give it an opportunity? Will you give mercy an opportunity in your life? Maybe you're a child of God and you've been merciless. Oh yes, this situation, your heart bleeds, but you've been merciless with your family and merciless with your fellow man, and you're angry and upset and mad. Stop, 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 stop. Because if God does nothing else for you, he's done enough. Well, what have you done? I've given you salvation. I've given you the hope of eternal life. The only thing you need to do is be faithful. And I know it's hard down there. I know it's tough down there. However, my son did it. Follow him. He'll lead you back home to me. That's it. But then I've given you a family, the church. I need y'all to work together and be merciful to one another. And don't look at each other as one who is a sinner, but one who is a saint who sins from time to time and needs to make things right. But once they make it right, then comfort that one and help him or her to be strong. Mercy. Oh, God is good to us. Brother Cortland, as we stand and as we sing.